recognize that this is the chapter where Jesus is telling them that he is the vine, that each of them is a branch. And I love verse 5. He said, I am the vine, you are the branch. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. By the way, isn't that what we're all thinking about tonight? Then he said, for without me, you can do nothing. But what I want us to think about tonight is verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11, look at them very carefully with me. If you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Time after time, we find Jesus saying something like this. I do always those things that please him. I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man could work. And when Jesus Christ uttered his last words on Calvary, before his death, it is finished, he literally is saying, I have done everything that my Father sent me to the earth to do. What a great, great testimony. And then he said, look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Notice what Jesus is saying to his disciples. I want you to have the kind of joy that I have, and I want your joy to be full. If we're not careful, sometimes we will be so involved about the work of God that we forget that he wants us to have his joy. And you don't have to read through the Bible many times until you realize that there are hundreds of verses that tell us that God's people ought to be joyful people. Let me read just a few of them tonight. Psalms 51:12, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Ecclesiastes 2:26, for God giveth to man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. Psalms 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Acts chapter 13, verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. By the way, they were going through great persecution and trial, but we find them saying they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. 1 John 1:4 says this, these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Now think about it. Jesus is saying, now don't get so involved in everything else that you miss out on having the joy of the Lord. Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In other words, rejoice in the Lord. And you say, well, evidently Paul didn't know what I'm going through. Oh, he did, okay. He was writing from a prison. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, he didn't say rejoice in your circumstances, because you may not can rejoice in your circumstances. I've never had a flat tire and look out at my flat tire and say, well, thank God I've got a flat tire, amen. So I do not rejoice in the circumstances, but even in difficult circumstances, we can rejoice in the Lord. Now, I want you to notice the relationship in verses 10 and 11 of keeping the commandments of the Lord and in having the joy of the Lord. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I'm sure that in our mission conference this year, all of us recognize that the Great Commission is a command of God. Not a suggestion, not a request, but a command. And when we keep the command of the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, it brings great joy. Go into all of the world, preach the gospel to every. When we're involved in praying, when we're involved in giving, when we're involved in going, it causes great joy. Number one, it causes great joy to the people that hear. And by the way, they can never be saved until they hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've been told tonight about many people in India know absolutely nothing about the gospel, and until they know, until they hear, they cannot be saved. So in order for mankind to be saved, he must hear the gospel. When we are involved in fulfilling the Great Commission, it causes great joy. Number one, it causes great joy to the people who hear. Our mission organization, Baptist International Missions Incorporated, started in 1960. So this year we were 60 years old. In the beginning, it was only in a few places. But one of the places where we had missionaries very early was the country of Nicaragua. And Frank Rosser and Bob Dayton went to Nicaragua as missionaries. And they did a wonderful work. They was able to preach the gospel, able to start churches and so forth. They wrote a little book about the work in Nicaragua. And in that book, there was a story about a witch doctor. He had caused them all kinds of problems. And on one of the pages of that book, there is a picture of that witch doctor. And I believe from the depth of my heart that it's the ugliest picture I've ever seen. Now, I'm kind of an expert on ugliness. I shave every morning and look, okay? But I mean, his appearance was grotesque, horrible. The wonderful thing is that witch doctor got saved. And on another page, there is another picture of the witch doctor. By the way, he's still not handsome, okay? But his countenance is totally different. He has a smile on his face. And you can see the joy of the Lord. What happened? Some missionaries answered the call to go. Churches gave and prayed as they went. And they preached the gospel. And this old witch doctor and many, many others trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So there was great joy on the part of those who heard. We had our first meeting in Osaka, Japan in 1966. A young lady by the name of Michiko Yamashita got saved. Her dad was a Shinto priest, the Tendikyo form of Shintoism. And we had a discipleship program where we would take discipleship lessons to the new converts. And one day as I was standing at the door talking to Michiko, her dad came in. And he was a little bit of short fellow. And he tried to just go on and not even pay any attention to me. But I got right in the middle of the door. And I tried to talk to him for a while. He was a Tendikyo form of Shintoism. They hated Americans. They hated Christians. So I had two strikes against me, plus the fact that his daughter had become a Christian. Little by little, as I visited that home, Mr. Yamashita one day consented for me to bring a tape recorder and present a gospel message in his house. Now, that's a miracle of God. I can still remember taking that tape recorder up there. By the way, this was in 1966. I did not have it in my pocket, okay? It was a great big old reel-to-reel tape recorder. We carried that up to the third story of that apartment building where they lived. And sat there and we drank some tea and ate some oranges. And then we began to play the Christian message, Jesus, the light of the world. And he tried to act like he was sleeping and wasn't listening. And maybe he was sleeping some, I'm not sure. But little by little, he warmed up. Then one day, he and Mrs. Yamashita came to church with Michiko. And they came four or five Sundays. And then one Sunday morning after I preached, Mr. Yamashita and his dear wife came forward. And they said, "Teacher, we want to take Jesus, your Jesus, as our Savior." And by the way, he became one of the happiest Christians I've ever met in my whole life. He was always smiling. He was always telling about somebody he is witnessing to. He's always talking about somebody he was praying for. Oh, there was great joy. Why? Because a man and his family decided to follow Jesus and go to Japan. And churches gave. And by the way, we could have not gotten out of Cook County, Illinois on our own money. Amen. So churches had to give. And thank God, churches prayed. We had a wonderful sending church, Calvary Baptist Church of Harvey, Illinois. They were so faithful to pray. But we went. People gave. People prayed. Mr. Yamashita got saved and had the great joy of the Lord. Never will forget seeing him walk to church with his Bible and his hymn book. He hadn't been saved but about 2 weeks. He said to me, "Teacher, one whole room in my house is given to idolatry." He said, "You come over to my house and do whatever you want to with it." That meant I took my crowbar and my hammer And we went to his house, and we began to knock over all of those false gods. Gathered them up in a big sack, took them to church. And on Sunday night, after the service, we gathered outside the building. And Brother and Ms. Yamashita gave their testimonies. How they had turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. Then he put kerosene on the idols, took a match and lit them. And as they were burning, a neighbor came by and said to me, "What are you Baptists doing now?" And Baptists do some strange things in lands like that. I didn't have to say a word. Mr. Yamashita, with a big smile on his face, said, "I have served these idols all of my life, and they've done nothing for me. I have found the true and living God." Amen. So, when we are obedient to the Great Commission, it causes great joy on the part of those who hear the gospel. But I want to show you another place that it causes great joy. Turn your Bibles back just a few pages to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. "Then drew nigh unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Now, that was a derogatory statement by them. "This man receiveth sinners." Aren't we glad he does? "And eateth with them." Then Jesus began to tell them about some things that were lost. There was a lost sheep. There was a lost coin. There was a lost boy. And Jesus begins to tell them about it. Look at the one about the lost sheep. Verse 4. "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he finds it?" Here's a picture of the good shepherd. "And when he hath found it, he layeth upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Now look at verse 7. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Think about that. Jesus said there's going to be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. When we preach the gospel and people get saved, we are doing something that causes heaven to rejoice. Now, we rejoice about all kinds of things. I got a raise, I'm rejoicing. The boy I've been wishing would ask me for a date, asked me for a date, I'm rejoicing. Or maybe some dumb boy that's been after a good girl and she all of a sudden shows him interest and he rejoices. Or our football team or basketball team or some other sports thing wins a game and we rejoice. But you know something? Heaven doesn't get excited about any of those things. But when one sinner, it doesn't matter where they are, one sinner anywhere in the world, doesn't matter about their age, doesn't matter about the color of their skin, does not matter about anything else. When one sinner anywhere gets saved, heaven rejoices. So he tells about a lost coin. But I want you to look for a few minutes about the one about the lost boy. Chapter 15. Begin with verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So here's a boy that says, hey, Dad, I don't think you're going to die real soon, so just give me what's mine now. Amen. That's not a good idea. But he got him, went into a far country, wasted his substance on righteous living. Then he got to the place where he was feeding hogs. And he was so hungry that he would eat the food that he was giving to the hogs. And finally, he came to himself. And he said, here I am living like this in my father's house are servants that's living a lot better than me. And he made a decision. You know what his decision was? I'm going to return to my father. And I'm going to tell him, I don't deserve to be your son. Just let me come back home and be as one of the hired servants. I wonder if there are not people here tonight that you have never personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Could I give you some good news? Jesus is waiting for you to come to him. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. The glorious gospel. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve for our sin. The wages of sin is death. But then there's a wonderful conjunction. But the gift of God is eternal life. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, tonight you could receive the gift of eternal life. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You remember in this story, when the father saw this young man coming back home, he ran to meet him, hugged him, put a remnant on his back, put a ring on his finger, killed the fatted calf. My son who was lost is coming back. My dear friend, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight, if you would come to him, you would receive eternal life, and it would make heaven rejoice. Then there's another area of fulfilling the Great Commission that brings great joy. It brings great joy to the participants in the mission. The missionaries. My, you've heard Pastor Needman and others tell about what God is doing in the areas where they're serving. And nothing brings greater joy to a missionary than to see souls saved and lives changed and churches built and young men trained for the work of God. When we are obeying the Great Commission, it causes great joy on the part of the participants. Turn your Bible for just a minute to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15, Paul said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity." Now look at verse 17 very closely. "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Think about this. When you are giving to missions through Falls Baptist Church, then you have a part in every missionary that is supported by this church. And every time they win somebody to the Lord, or somebody that the missionary has won somebody to the Lord, that is put on your account. And when you get to heaven, you'll have the privilege of rejoicing to see those that you have helped win to the Lord in heaven. Jesus said, "These things have I written in you that you might have the kind of joy that I have, and that your joy may be full." So while we're very careful to obey our Lord, to do what he tells us to do, let us do it with great joy. It's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. Let's pray together. Brother Gilmore.